out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 14th of August, 2019. And you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Carolyn Jaeger is still having some time off, so you've just got myself today. I've got a couple of new stories that I want to get into. And this first one concerns the NHS in Britain. And the NHS is... Americans often ridicule the NHS or mock it, but it has been very useful for getting rid of all the sort of diseases that we used to have around, common diseases. And it's also very useful for when people have an accident and they need to get their bones set and all that sort of thing. If you've got a complicated condition, it's not very good and you're probably better off going private. But it, all in all, I think it's a positive thing. But it's misused because it's now just being abused by foreigners. Anybody can just come here from anywhere else in the world and give birth, or go and see the doctor with some kind of condition that they've got, or kidney problems, needing dialysis, needing transplants, and in particular, AIDS patients. And of course, AIDS is a really serious problem over there in Africa. They've got masses of the Negroes have actually got AIDS. A large portion of them are also homosexual. And a large portion of the AIDS patients that are actually on the NHS are foreign. In fact, almost half of them are foreign. And this is likely to increase because the government have said that they will accept asylum seekers from Africa who say that they're being persecuted for being homosexual. So they've got the perfect excuse, haven't they? They could just come over here, say that they're homosexual, so they get asylum status. And then they've also got AIDS, so they go and see the doctor, and then they get all the free AIDS medication for the rest of their life, which draws away the resources from the British people that need help on the NHS, the British people that are having to wait for 6 weeks before they get seen, who have to make appointments to see the doctor now because they can't get to see a doctor for 2 weeks. The only way they can actually see a doctor at the health centre is through an emergency appointment. You've got incompetent doctors, incompetent foreign doctors that are responsible for something like 70% of all the medical staff that are actually struck off for gross incompetence. And it's starting to get in a right state here. And the mainstream media is being forced to cover it, basically. I mean, this article comes from the Daily Mail. The NHS is spending as much on patients with HIV as it does on breast cancer care, amidst fears that health tourists are targeting Britain to access expensive treatment for free. Last year, the health service spent £606 million on HIV treatment, excluding testing, according to figures released to the Mail on Sunday. Official figures from Public Health England show that more than half of the HIV patients diagnosed here over the past two decades were born abroad. So half of the funding is going on foreigners, and the amount of funding there is equal to the amount that they spend on breast cancer. And breast cancer is pretty prolific, and it's also an extremely horrific disease. You think the effect it has on women, some of whom have to have their breasts amputated, and they could have half again as much money if we didn't have the foreigners here sucking up all the wealth, all the savings that the NHS has on AIDS patients. The $606 million figure is similar to the sum spent on breast cancer, which accounts for about 10% of the £6 billion cancer budget. The financial impact of the epidemic means HIV treatment is consuming around £1 in every 200 spent on the NHS in England at a time of intense pressure on the health service. Since 2012, all patients diagnosed as HIV positive have been able to obtain expensive drugs known as antiretrovirals for free on the NHS, regardless of their residency or immigration status. I mean, this is just a magnet to AIDS patients from all over the world. Unsurprisingly, almost all of the 93,000 people identified as HIV positive in England opt for treatment. Without it, a patient's immune cells will be depleted by the virus over time, and they will eventually develop AIDS. But treating HIV patients is costly. According to figures from the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence in 2016, which it said were its most recent estimates, the cost of treatment per annum when HIV is diagnosed early is around £14,000 per case. If diagnosed late, as happened in 43% of new cases in 2017, according to Public Health England, the cost is double that. Now, these foreign cases, the foreigners that come over here, they are all going to have it diagnosed late, aren't they? Because they would have realised that they've got it over in Africa, and then they would have come over to Britain claiming asylum or whatever, and then they'll go to the hospital or to the doctor, they'll get it diagnosed here, and it will be a late diagnosis, so the cost will be double. So I would suggest that most of these new cases, I mean, this is what it's saying here, 43% of the new cases, it was diagnosed late. That 43% is probably all the foreigners. 44% of HIV patients were born in the UK, 35% come from Africa, while the remaining fifth were born in other parts of the world. 35% come from that one continent, Africa. And we're funding all their healthcare. I mean, even over actually there in Africa itself, I mean, they're releasing news today that they've come out with two new Ebola treatments that they would never be able to have come up with for themselves. In actual fact, they burned down one of the Ebola treatment centres, exactly like one of the cartoon memes that was around a couple of years back when we had that first Ebola scare. They're not capable of creating medicine and coming up with these ideas for themselves. It's the West. It's the white man that spends billions in coming up with these cures and on treating these Negroes. And because of it, their population has just exploded. I mean, they have literally exploded. They've gone from something like 100 million of them in the world to over a billion of them in the world. And I think in another 10, 20 years' time, they're going to be 2 billion. Eventually, they're just going to outnumber everybody else. All these low IQ people that can't actually take care of themselves are going to outnumber the people that are capable of taking care of themselves. And the white man is just going to be swamped. He's not going to be able to keep paying for all these Negroes. We need to stop sending the charity over there, stop sending the medicine over there, and stop treating foreigners under the NHS. NICE, that's the NICE, put the lifetime cost of treating a person with HIV at between $280,000 and $360,000. At those prices, the total annual cost of HIV care in England would be well over £1 billion. Don't forget, half of that is for foreigners. Half a billion pounds is going on AIDS medication for foreigners that have never even come out with medicine that works in the first place. All they have over there is witch doctory and juju magic. They've never had a pharmaceutical industry. They've never had doctors or medicine. They've just always gone to witch doctors and superstition. They've never developed any of this technology for themselves. We developed it all, and we are wasting it all on them at the cost of our own people. You think how much could be going on breast cancer if we weren't paying for all these foreigners with HIV to prevent them from getting AIDS? Professor J. Merion Thomas, a former NHS cancer surgeon who has investigated the matter, said the fact that more than half of HIV patients were born abroad made it overwhelmingly likely that a significant proportion are health tourists. In no other illness were so many patients born overseas, he noted. Tellingly, the UK saw the biggest number of new HIV diagnoses of any Western European country between 2008 and 2017, registering 60,000 additional cases, according to EU monitoring. A Department of Health spokesman said, as with all other serious infectious diseases, we do not charge overseas visitors for treatment for HIV, as if left untreated, there is a significant risk to others in this country. And this is why we should be keeping all these Negroes out of the country. If you had a risk of, just the risk of having a bee from Turkey coming into the country that they're desperate to get rid of because of the harm that bee could cause to the other bees in this country. We've got grey squirrels in Britain that are a huge threat to our native red squirrels. They carry disease with them, which infects the red squirrels. And we've now only got red squirrels in a few tiny pockets left in the country. Everywhere else is flooded with these grey squirrels. And they talk about that and they say, what are we going to do about this? And we have to prevent these exotic animals from coming into the country because they can spread disease to our native animals. And nobody talks about that with foreign humans, as if foreign humans are something entirely different, as if it's an entirely different matter. But it's a conservation matter. It's a matter of conserving our own people and directing our charity towards our own people and not directing it elsewhere. Every bit of charity that is directed elsewhere is taken away from our own people. It's like when you look at the homeless, you never see a white homeless man anymore selling The Big Issue, which is a magazine that homeless people sell over here in Britain, which is supposed to help them with their costs. A very noble idea that was thought up by a white man some years back, that he would provide these magazines at a low cost to the homeless people, and they could then sell them on in order to make a bit of money to get themselves back on track. Or you don't see white people selling The Big Issue anymore. It is all foreigners. They've got their own homes. They've got their own home countries that they could go back to. And yet they're sucking all the charity out of the white man in the white man's country. It's infuriating when you see them pretending to be homeless. Charity starts at home. It really does. If their own people don't want to be giving them charity, then there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And we certainly shouldn't be. And the best way that they could get the NHS back on track would just be to remove all treatment for foreigners. And this is one of the ways that we could encourage them to repatriate. Our enemies will say that white nationalism leads to genocide and it leads to death squads and you'd have to execute all these foreigners that are here in our country. That's absolute nonsense. All you would have to do is refuse them benefits. If you just said that you're no longer entitled to free NHS treatment, you're no longer entitled to free education, you're no longer entitled to a council house, you're no longer entitled to welfare or benefits, they would soon start deporting. And you could even offer them an incentive as well. You could say, if you leave the country, we'll give you £10,000. And that would still work out, saving the country an absolute fortune. There are certainly peaceful ways that we can turn the situation that we are in around. Well, if you're rich enough to afford to move away from the multicultural centres, then you're okay. But what about those that aren't rich enough to move away from the violent multicultural centres? What about the poor elderly white folks that are left there in London, that last 35%, 40% of white people that are stuck there in these black areas, terrified to go out? It's not all right for them, but it is okay for the white rock stars. They can leave London. They can leave the multicultural areas. And this next story concerns Noel Gallagher from Oasis. Noel Gallagher has revealed he has plans to leave London after a man was stabbed on his street. And I think about it, Noel Gallagher is going to live in a fairly posh area of London. And even that is not safe from diversity. The musician, 52, who is married to Sarah McDonald, admitted he doesn't want his kids, Anais, Donovan and Sonny, to grow up in the city. Revealing he's selling his £8 million mansion in Little Venice, London, Noel told the Irish Independent, "We didn't want the kids growing up in London. We've had two stabbings outside our house in the last while. I live, as you can imagine, in quite an affluent area. At one end of the street is one housing estate, and at the other end is another housing estate. And they are currently at war." Did we ever have such a thing as housing estates at war with one another before we had diversity? I don't think we did. People have always had a loyalty to the area that they live in, and that finds its expression in their local football team and in sports. But actually having gangs and violent warfare between housing estates, that's something that originates in Africa. That is something that originates in tribal warfare, with the Negro instinct to raid the next village and steal slaves and wives and cattle from them. And the village that has been raided then goes out and raids the next village. And that was the way that Africa always worked. And that was why you could buy slaves in Africa. That's why these slave ships could go over there and these Arabs could go there and they could buy slaves from the Negro chiefs, because that was their main economy. It was just going out and raiding the next village and stealing whatever you can from them. Stealing and killing and raping. That's basically the Negro instinct. And that manifests itself in tribal warfare, in warfare amongst one another, based upon the area that they live in. And we've now got exactly the same happening in London, happening in the multicultural centres. They've all got these black gangs in them. London even has a special police force specifically to deal with black gangs and gun crime. I believe it even says the word black in the title or in the description of it, because they know that this is centered around the Negroes. And then you've got this rich white man that lives in the middle of it, and his street has become a war zone. Two people stabbed in the street outside where he lives. And the former Oasis star continued, "One guy was multiple stabbed in the middle of the effing day, and an air ambulance had to come and land in the middle of the street, and all the streets were taped off." And this is another thing with this. I mean, these stabbings, they're not occurring in the middle of the night. They're not occurring out of the way where people can't see what's going on. They're happening in the middle of the day. They're happening around the time that the children get out of school. Because a lot of the time, it's black so-called children that are doing the stabbing. And they're reported as being youths, and we're not allowed to see a picture of the face because they're under 18. But they're adults, basically. Over there in Africa, they would be out there fighting and shooting and raping and killing in the Congolese army at the age that they're going to school here in Britain. I think the majority of the army over there in the Congo are under the age of 14. And yet we're told that they're just the same as white children over here, and they can go to school with the white kids. And of course, the white kids that go to school with them, they end up having a horrible time. And they end up having to behave like Negroes just in order to protect themselves. And that's why you have this hugely increasing crime rate in these multicultural areas. The white kids have to defend themselves against the way that the black kids are. And Noel, of course, he's rich enough to be able to avoid that. He doesn't point out that this is due to race, of course. He just points out that it's due to violence, this mysterious violence that just mysteriously occurs, that housing estates are at war with other housing estates. And this is another problem. These liberal types, they will flee from the multicultural areas, but they won't admit to themselves the reason why they left that area. They won't say to people, well, I had to leave because it was full of blacks and they're not like us. They rape and they kill one another and I don't want my kids growing up around that. They just talk about how there was an increase in crime or how they wanted the kids to go to a better school or how they just thought that the kids would have a better life away from the city where there's less pollution. None of them will actually admit the real reasons for it. He went on to reveal that he thought it would be too stressful for his kids to get the tube home from school because he would be constantly worrying about them getting mugged. So he won't point out why it is likely that they would be mugged, why they are going to be less likely to be mugged in the rural areas that he's going to move to. What's the difference between the rural areas and London? The difference is the type of people that are there. I say this time and time again. If you go to a capital city in a country in Eastern Europe where the country is still 99.9% white, that is just as safe as the rural areas in Britain. You can leave your iPad or your iPhone on the table and come back an hour later and it will still be there. You couldn't do that in London. You can walk around these capital cities that are still white and you won't see any litter on the streets. You walk around London and looks like a shanty town in South Africa. There's that much litter. And it's less safe than a shanty town in South Africa now. The Somalian mothers are sending their Somalian children back to Somalia because it's safer than London, because they're less likely to get stabbed if they go back to Somalia, which proves the theory that Max Musson has, that actually the multicultural areas are more likely to have more violence than the monocultural black areas, because at least in the monocultural black areas, they understand one another. And you haven't got that friction between the different races and the different customs. So these Somalian women and other African countries that have come to Britain, they're now sending their offspring back over there to Africa. So it's not just Noel Gallagher and whites that are fleeing London. It's the Africans themselves fleeing from the hell that they have created. The rocker has now decided to send them to school in the countryside, and he will just commute when he needs to. And that's the reason for it. That is the real reason why it's safer in the countryside, is because there aren't any blacks there, but he's too cowardly to actually say that. That's if he will admit it to himself. He has spoken out about his song Don't Look Back in Anger that was used after the Manchester nail bombing that maimed all those children, and all those liberal idiots were singing Don't Look Back in Anger afterwards, as if we should be wishing blessings on the people that did it instead of being angry with them. At least he has pointed out that that was nothing to do with him, and it certainly wasn't his sentiments that we shouldn't be getting angry about all our children being maimed like that. But he's stopping short of pointing out what the real reason is for why he's moving from London. Earlier this year, it was revealed that Noel was willing to sell his mansion, which was located in Little Venice, London, but was forced to slash a few million off the asking price, so it was up for a cool £7,950,000. Well, how the other half live, eh? Well, I've got a final news story here, and this comes from Sweden. And this is pretty timely when you think that we're just getting to the end of Ramadan, where the Muslims are massacring all these animals and slitting their throats in the streets and reveling in their bloodlust in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and all these other Arabic countries, and also in parts of Europe now, of course, unfortunately. Well, it's not just that they have this systematized religious slaughter. They also have instances of extreme cruelty just towards animals. I mean, we've seen this with dogs. I mean, I've seen pictures online of Muslims holding up crucified cats and dogs that they've skinned. I mean, horrific behavior towards animals. I mean, it's no coincidence that 99% of the world's vets are all white, because we care about animals and these other races don't. According to the head of a Swedish animal protection group, behavior in the immigrant-dense areas is responsible for an increase in cruelty cases towards hedgehogs and other animals. At least they're admitting that this is in the immigrant-dense areas, the multicultural areas. Earlier this week, Swedish media spoke to Anita Sjöberg, the head of the animal welfare group Djurensvannar in the municipality of Najo, who claimed that youths were using local hedgehogs as footballs and kicking them around, Nyheter IDAG reports. Hedgehogs are an endangered species. We're seeing less and less hedgehogs around, and here we have the non-whites in Sweden just booting them around, kicking them about. This is the mentality that these non-whites has. This is the compassion that they have for innocent creatures. And we're told that we should have compassion on them and we should open our borders to let these savages in. Sjöberg spoke to the online publication saying these are immigrant-dense areas, unfortunately, and added that the group used to visit schools and write notes in various languages in order to inform migrant children of the laws on animal cruelty. Imagine that. You have to inform these children that they shouldn't be torturing animals. Do you have to inform white children that they shouldn't be torturing animals, or do they have an instinctive liking for animals, an instinctive sympathy? So there is some difference in how animals are handled in Sweden and in other countries. We have quite good animal welfare legislation here in Sweden, which we are used to and grow up with, but it is not in all countries, unfortunately, Sjöberg added. Now, why is it that we have animal welfare legislation here in Europe and they don't in the non-white countries? It's because it would never occur to them to treat animals well, because they don't think like that, because they're not like us. While it is mainly hedgehogs that have been on the receiving end of cruel behaviour, Sjöberg noted that other animals had been exposed to cruelty as well, including hares, cats and swans, indicating that footage of them having their throats cut was circulating on social media. And this is children that are doing this, don't forget, quote unquote children that are slitting these animals' throats and putting them up on social media. And if they're putting them up on social media, then that means that it's approved of in their community. It's seen as a good thing to do. She went on to add that the group may start visiting local schools again in the near future to inform children, saying, maybe that is something we need to start up again. Make small information sheets for children and tell them how to handle them and what you can and can't do. I think that's pretty important. I think that would be pretty shocking for a white child to be handed a sheet of paper telling them, don't kick the hedgehogs around and don't slit the throats of the pussycat. I mean, they would be horrified to see that, to think that that's what some children do. They slit the throats of cats and dogs and hares. Other countries in Western Europe have also had difficulties with migrant behaviour towards animals, specifically the Muslim community, during the end of Ramadan, where some have been accused of cruelty while butchering sheep and other animals for the religious holiday of Eid. Last year in France, for example, dozens of sheep were rescued from a garage in the northern suburbs of Paris, where the underground slaughter of animals during Eid celebrations has become a major issue. See, they are enjoying doing this. The slicing of the animals' throats is seen as a celebration. That's how they have their fun. They torture innocent animals. And this is now going on in Europe because our traitor politicians have imported this mentality and this behaviour into our countries, not just into our countries, into our schools, where it affects our children. our innocent children have to go to school alongside these savages. That is, unless you're rich enough to move away, like Noel Gallagher. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. I'm sorry it's not a more cheerful ending, but it may be just if you can, just get away from the multicultural centres. If you can, just move somewhere where you are among white people. You will be safer and far better off. Don't worry about the standard of the schooling being a little bit lower. It will be so much better for your children and so much better for your all-round mentality just to be around your own kind instead of having to suffer all this diversity. And if you can't get away, then just try to keep away from it. Try to avoid it and teach your children at home and try and find a group of other parents that homeschool so that you can take it in turns and so that the children get a variety of education. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in.